Hi, this is Paul Diello, and you're listening to the Pete Jones...
Pete Jones...
Pete Jones...
Pete Jones
Show!
Welcome, sir. After that, how are you, Sam? You're okay.
Hello, I'm doing pretty well.
Obviously, nothing to see around here. We haven't been promoting gigs any other. I mean, you know, why would we be doing that?
No, well, there's only one happening on Thursday, I believe, isn't there?
I believe that is the case. I believe that
I'm so sorry,
is
Wob.
The case. Wob, quite frankly, wrong time to have yours gig. Yes, we should get it in right now, shouldn't we, Mr. Sam Jefferson?
Yes, we shall. Yeah,
when and where is this 26th of May gig?
So this is down at the Brunswick in Hove.
Brunswick,
and it's
Hove.
Being coordinated by Overhead Wires.
Yes.
As my friend Rob Holt, who I saw earlier today, likes to call him Dickie Ward, Richard Ward.
Richie. Who is, another well-worn face of this show, if that's a polite way of putting it. If you're listening, Richie Ward, what do you call him? Dickie Ward?
Dickie Ward.
Dickie Ward, he's not here.
I don't know if he's ever heard me say that before. That's what Rob calls him.
Well, at least we're not saying it on air.
No.
Well, that would catch on, wouldn't it?
That would be bloody terrible.
We would
it?
Not do that, no. Nor would we swear, which is a good thing. Because, you know, being on air...
Is bloody about as far as I can go.
I think you've gone there twice. So, yes, I would say it probably is about as far as you can go, if that's okay with you, sir. Because it'd be a shame to throw you through that window so quickly.
I read the little posters around the the room saying, we say what we want, and I took it too literally.
Yeah, well, when you say we say what we want, within reason.
Within reason.
We got to abide by Ofcomy rules because they're out there. They're always listening.
I apologise profusely.
And you see the four guys with the glass, of course. We talked about them earlier.
I've seen them earlier.
One of those guys is a spy.
Had a feature role in Beautiful Mind, didn't he?
Yes, indeed. Thank you for that.
Pete knows what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do, my friend. Yes, I do.
We're going to keep up the illusion, though.
I think, because see the tall guy with the beard? He makes coffee. He's a barista. I think it's what's her name? The fourth one. I think she's a spy. I think so. I think they work for Ofcom. I think she has been a plant there for Ofcom. So if you do a little bit more of that bad language stuff, she's the one, not me. She'll be knocking that ring. See that big ring on her finger? Knocking that on the glass in a sternly fashion.
Devilishly exciting.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. I wish we were. Now, what is going on in the world of Sam Jefferson? Because, you know, you're a name to behold, my friend.
I wouldn't say that at all. I'd say that's the goal.
No, I think you've scored that goal. Yeah, I think you're in.
An own goal.
Yes, because you've been very hard at it now for, well, you've been focusing on this for about a year since you've kind of left your college and all that.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been into music. I started playing at 7 years old, which really was a great advantage. I mean, my parents were so supportive because normally, I don't know, you hear a lot of stories about children saying, hey, I want to play music, but I want to be a musician.
Yeah.
And, you know, believe it or not, I said that to my parents at the age of seven. And they said, absolutely,
yeah.
you do that. And they, you know, they got me with the right teacher. And
good on them.
I was, you know, had a great head start doing that. So it's always been the ambition.
See, I said that when I was about five or six and no one laughed, but... no one took it too seriously either, I don't think.
Yeah,
and
no,
it just fizzled out. But
It's always terrible, you know. You don't want to stifle ambition. It's important to. I mean, I feel I'm definitely privileged to have had parents that have supported that. So, very grateful to them.
It is an important thing to be let to breathe, isn't it?
It's.
You know, there's a sort of there's many support comes in many ways, and just being let loose, and you know they're there for you. I think is a phenomenal feeling.
Yeah, and then they take you seriously as well, you know, because you could go, oh, you know, little kid, what's he talking about?
Yeah.
Or like, oh, you know, maybe he'll play a bit of piano and then he'll stop and that'll be that.
Yeah, but I think that's a measure to their parenting. They obviously knew you already at seven. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up with Eric Clapton and Bert Jansch and Blind Lemon Jefferson records playing around the house.
Oh, I see records. Know. I thought, wow, what a house. Yeah. Where were you living?
Well, we spent our summers in Louisiana.
Of course you did.
Back in 1922.
I know.
I'm a time traveler.
Crazy person you are. What a family. No wonder they support you. Yeah. This crazy illusion with the crocodiles.
Covert Doctor Who.
Yes, exactly.
I don't make a fuss about it.
No. You wear it well. You do. Now, is there a link to this T-shirt in yourself, or is it just a groovy old T-shirt?
Well, this Canterbury of New Zealand t-shirt comes from my rugby playing days.
Does it now?
Which ended very abruptly when I came to university and saw the competition was incredibly stiff.
It's going to do it, isn't it? You think you're great at school.
You're
absolutely dynamite at school. You get to college and there's big, big people.
Yeah, but I mean also the injury rate just turned me off, because I realised that as I was getting more and more serious with music and I was playing more, I was like, I can't afford to break my wrists. And because I've broken this right arm 4 times. I'm surprised it still straightens. It just about does.
Yeah.
But I had, you know, like months on end of being in this cast up to the shoulder and I couldn't play at all.
Year after year.
It was just it was just devastating.
What position were you playing?
I was a flanker.
So you see, that's what, you've got to get nobbled by the other flanker. That's the job of a flanker.
Yeah.
Wing forwards get crushed by the other guy. That's the way it goes.
I prefer it to being actually in the scrum, though.
Me too.
To being like
you can peel off at any point. Because you don't want your neck broken, do you?
Those scrums are just awful.
They're just ridiculous. Who came up with that?
But people say it's a gentleman's sport, and it's a gentleman's sport insofar as you rip someone's ear off and then you say, oh, terribly sorry, old chap, and you just...
That's right. That is right. Now, listen, were you playing this down in the West Country, this ridiculous game?
I was, yeah. Down in the West Country.
Yeah. And then you came up to the dizzy, dizzy lights of Brighton.
I came here.
Yeah. But you didn't study music. This is what's interesting.
No, I didn't. I studied philosophy.
Yes.
Primarily because I'd gotten into philosophy at A-level, and I had the best teacher in the world. He was French, which, of course, the best philosophy teachers are French.
Gotta be French.
You gotta, yeah.
Come on.
It's sipping coffee and...
Come on. What is wrong with that? That is perfect.
The best way to teach it.
Yes.
So I got into that and I thought, you know, I really enjoy it. I'm going to go to university and study it. Obviously, it was an expensive thing to do because, you know, we have these tuition fees, it has to be said, and not to make it a political program, but...
You can make it what you like, because read that sign again. What does it say?
It says, we say what we want.
There you go. Say it.
But we can't swear.
No, don't say it all the way. Keep it clean. You have to call him Jeremy Hunt if you refer to him. You know, you've got to keep it clean.
Cockney rhyming slang.
No. Well, yes, 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 just that. That's all. That is fine.
He's such a hunt.
Easy tiger. Thank you. Thank you. Under the wire. So you were going to get political. But yes, I am astounded because obviously I slipped through university education before the days of, I look young. I know.
Well, you do.
Thank you.
You pull it off. Yeah.
I do. I pull it off. I'm not pulling this off yet. No. Because
I don't know what he's talking about.
Then you'll see the truth. So I don't know how you guys actually do it and still look like you're having fun, because that's a lot of debt flying around.
Well, it's I guess the big thing lately is that there's been retrospective action, which is, you know, is a fancy way of saying that they've been hiked up for people, I believe, that students since entry at 2012, which is really probably the worst thing that
you mean,
they could
you
do.
Mean that the fees then got cranked up another notch?
Yeah. And they're looking at putting them up again, I believe. But just, you know, in case anyone's tuning out and going, oh, God, it's all political.
It's gone.
We should probably...
It's gone, dirty.
Although I'm sure there's lots of students in Brighton that are feeling equally annoyed.
I think so. Now, before, like you said before, this they think, is this the right show? Why don't we crack into a track that you might have lined up for us?
Of course.
By the way, do you bring politics into your music at all?
I do sort of. There's a lot of tracks I'm writing at the moment which primarily engage with my family and my mum's side history, which is they were coal miners up in Yorkshire in Barnsley.
Yeah.
And that is something that's quite important to me. Just suffice to say there's a lot of politics around that, around, you know, just the way in which communities particularly have been, you know, shut off. And it's kind of a cliche to talk about the Thatcher years and all of that, but... I think it's really important. So I'm writing a lot of songs. It's not all political, though. You know, a lot of it's just about their lives. And because I think they lived incredible lives. You know, my great-granddad was he was a coal miner at the age of 12.
Whoa.
And then in the First World War, obviously, it came as he turned 20, I believe. And so he came up out of the ground to go to France and go back down into the ground, into the trenches in the First World War, made it through the whole war, came back. And, you know,
what?
And I just think what an incredible life. And I think it's worth writing about.
It certainly is. Have you got any of that stuff for us tonight?
Do you know, I wasn't going to, but I'm going to now because I brought
That'd
it up.
Be so
and it'll
cool.
be, yeah, yeah. It'd be very random. random if I just spoke about it and didn't play about it.
We don't mind either way, but whatever, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, no, I'd be delighted, yeah.
What track have you got for us now?
This first one?
Yeah.
Well, this is called Too Much For You.
Too Much For You.
And it's the first track from a little album that I put out a few months ago called Rhythm's Tide.
You guys are listening to Sam Jefferson on The Pete Jones Show. Do text us 07909 547 336. If you know Sam, if you want to know Sam, if you don't know Sam, if you like what you hear, text us anyway, my friends. We'd love to hear from you.
Born in love within my soul, I stain my face on scotch and cool. The sky is bruised, I am too. I fight for me and not for you. Sugar bombs, your wicked toys won't break my heart to hear your voice. Morning rise, evening fall, soon as I stand I'll breathe and crawl. But still I'm gone. You tell me I'm so wrong. The way I move is clearly just too much for you. Just to hear your voice, I thought it fine. Now I'm left unsatisfied. Left your song in my head, I figured out your plans instead. On your land I'm given now to make my stand. I paid my due to see this through. Now where's the other side of you? Yeah, still I'm gone. You tell me I'm so wrong. The way I move is clearly just too much. But still I'm gone. And you tell me I'm so wrong. The way I move, it's clearly just too much for you, yeah.
Whoa. That is amazing. The guy is so cool. He did all that finish, and then he just nonchalantly, I would say, nonchalantly reach for his flask of tea. I know, which I'm now realizing it's clearly whiskey. There's no tea in that thing at all. Sam, that is a great sound.
Thank you very much.
Very, very good sound. Has that been your sound for as long as you can remember, or is it like a...
So far as acoustic goes, I tend to categorize myself as primarily a blues and folk player. Whatever folk means, it's a ubiquitous term.
It's kind of broad
Right. I mean, I really just love the blues. I mean, the blues is the reason why I got into music in the first place. As I say, I grew up listening to Eric Clapton in particular, acoustic artists like Blind Lemon Jefferson, a lot of those Delta blues players.
Was this at home in family? Was there records lying around?
This was at home. Was
big parent thing.
Yeah, vinyl, just, you know, vinyl. Playing all day.
Yeah. No, but I mean, was this the kind of stuff they were listening to?
This was the kind of stuff they were listening to. Yeah. Well, I should say my mum really in particular.
Okay. Yeah.
She has a very broad taste in music, but she was playing a lot of that when I was growing up,
and it all filters in.
Big influence on me. Yeah.
And so. Do you find, I mean, so it's kind of, what is it, kind of crazy country, I guess, is it? It's a blues.
Yeah, I'd say blues, yeah. I've only been a slide player, which is what that I mean, you know, for anyone who doesn't know, I'm wearing this little metal like cylinder on my finger.
We thought they were shot glasses. We weren't sure what those things
were. Yeah, yeah. Well, they're very small, short shot glasses, really. I mean,
that. Yeah, I know. But that tall one, though, you could get a neck in there, couldn't you? Get something.
I'm sure you could. That'd be the ultimate move. That'd
yes, it would.
That'd be the coolest thing you could possibly do. finish a song on slide and then take a shot from it.
I think this could be part of the act.
Well, I mean, you know, Kiss had a way of doing it, so I'm sure I can figure out a way to make one guy standing in a corner with a guitar exciting.
I think we can work on this. Anyone who wants to find out, by the way, just how exciting this guy is live, 26th of May, that's got a certain ring to it, that date. 26th of May at the Brunswick, which is Thursday coming. There's sort of rumours or threats, I think that I could sort of safely say they are, that you're going to start attacking Somerset with some gusto in June, July. Is yes. this true? Can you verify? And are there any locations that you'd, you know, like to disclose, or is it a secret thing?
That's very true. Yeah, I'm going to be heading to Somerset. My parents actually live in Dorset, so I'll be stopping over and seeing them for a little bit.
Very beautiful place.
Which will be wonderful. Well, there's a few local pubs that I like to go and play. You know, the Crown in particular in Sherbourne's a lovely one. The landlord's very good to me there. I come home and he sets me up well.
Does
and
he?
And he, you know, he gives you everything.
Wow. What's his name?
His name is Ian.
Ian, I'm loving you. Loving this guy. Ian at the Crown.
And he's a true Somerset gentleman.
We are all piling down for the Crown.
Well, I hope you are. I hope you don't mind the four and a half hour train journey it will take you.
What's to mind when Ian is at the end of it? What is to mind?
Well, he'll make it worth your while.
He will. Does he let you play?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I get to do. It's one of those nice gigs that I get to do where I can play basically the standard 2 45-minute sets, which is you know, what you'd have a band in to do. There's a few places locally here, actually, where I get to do that. Like the Three Graces out in Hove, I've played at a couple of times now. I really enjoy doing those, primarily because they pay really well.
Now, listen, we're back on a regular theme here. It's tough getting paid for these things, isn't it?
Yeah, I definitely think it can be. I mean, there's, you know, without wanting to, like, potentially burn any bridges, I have a lot of chats with you know, my friends who are musicians as well, and there's generally agreement that there's sort of a threshold where you get to perhaps a certain point where certain gigs, you know, you can't really afford to just play them for the so-called exposure anymore.
Yeah.
Now, exposure is a term that's thrown around in music circles a lot, and it's begrudged quite a lot.
Funny though.
Yeah, but I mean, it's,
you can't live on exposure.
No, you can't. It's like trying to eat a concept.
It's tricky. Dying off although concept, 3 years of doing philosophy, you tried.
I did try.
Years of doing philosophy.
I did okay. Yeah.
You must be fried. Your brain must be just popping out.
I mean, it was already to start with. I mean, that's probably why I started doing the degree, because I was already an overthinker. But actually, yeah. It was a bit like giving a recovering alcoholic, you know, just a free tour of Glenfiddich or something like that, you know?
Okay, yeah.
It was like, you know, like someone comes out of rehab and you go, brilliant, here's a shot to celebrate.
Yes.
Like getting an overthinker to do a philosophy degree.
Kicking it. But back on that track, philosophy, does it help with your writing? Does it, I mean, because all this stuff you write, okay, these are your
I write loads of songs about, like, you know, Kant's critique of pure
reason. Where I was going with that was, there's a kind of, in my crazy head, there's a kind of a, I can imagine philosophy, poetry, lyrics, there's a kind of...
I mean, it definitely depends what branch of philosophy you're doing. I mean, if there's anyone from the philosophy department at Sussex listening,
yeah, do text in.
I'm sure there are many.
Many.
But, you know, if you're doing like more...
Every week we have a deluge of the philosophy.
I'd say the continental philosophy is the one which is...
Is that the one with the croissant and the orange juice?
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yes.
The one, yeah. Always the croissant.
Okay, so the continental philosophers were what? They're more romantic, they're more...
Well, this is where the branch of existentialism comes from. So have, you know, people like Sartre. I think it may be contested to say that Nietzsche was an existentialist, but we'll put him in there anyway.
Yes.
I'm sure there's lots of, like, heated academics listening to this going, oh, no, you can't put Nietzsche in the existentialist.
I can't help hearing the word Nietzsche without thinking of Blazing Saddles, of course, the famous... As Nietzsche once said. But, so there's Jean-Paul Sartre, obviously Jean-Paul Gaultier, clearly. The French, I mean, they're full of these people.
Yeah, lots of Germans too. Heidegger, Husserl.
I like the way he did that.
Husserl.
Thank you. Doesn't he play for Man City? No, that's another one. Sorry, yes, of course.
He's been reincarnated.
Yes. So it's all there. It's all swirling around your creative head.
Yeah, I mean sometimes, you know, as I say, it's not like I'm lifting passages from Kant and putting them into songs. But there's
Maybe you should.
You know, I'd say it'd be difficult to say that it didn't have an influence on me.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, the degree was important to me because I wouldn't have moved to Sussex otherwise. And it's been really instrumental living in Sussex.
Would you like to play us another song?
And I would.
We will chat about Brighton Sussex theory.
For sure. And
so, as mentioned, obviously, the lovely Sam Jefferson here, tuning up and sounding all creative in the background there. I like the little creativity in action.
You know I'm live when there's the sound of me tuning.
Yes, I think it's a good thing. Don't forget, folks, do get in touch. 07909-547-336. Sam, what are you going to play?
I'm going to play a song called Gonna Try Some of That.
Try it.
It's about a girl that sells hot cookies.
Sour.
Well, I know this girl, she sells hot cookies, she sells them night and day. First time I get some money, I'm gonna head right up her way. Gonna try some of that, I'm gonna try some of that. First time I get some money, you know I'm gonna try some of that. And it makes no difference who you are or where you may come from. She'll meet you out in the street at night, you know she's gonna sell you some, man, gonna try some of that, man, I'm gone. First time I get some money, you know I'm gonna try. Gonna try some right now. Well, I tried some last Thursday night. My money was not wasted. Tell your boys it was out of sight, best cookies I ever tasted. Gonna try some of that, I'm gone. First time I get some money, you know I'm gonna try some of that. Bag and it's good for content burners. She said, son, if you like that, I got a fresh batch in my oven. Woo, gonna try some of that, yeah, I'm gone. First time I get some money, you know I'm gonna try some of that. Man come in last night and folks up out of the way. He didn't stare but 5 minutes and he came out walking straight. Gonna try some of that, man, I'm gonna. First time I get some money, you know I'm gonna try some sure good cookies I'm talking about.
Is good. If only it's giving me the munchies now. Who is this crazy chick? Anyway, I'm going to try some of that from the marvelously wonderful Sam Jefferson, who is here, right here, sipping his Are you sure that is teaser?
Well, I mean, we'll avoid. Well, I'll classically do a politician's move then, and just avoid that question.
There you go. There you go. Moving rapidly on.
Just to say, I was a bit nervous actually as I began that song.
Yeah.
Because thinking, you know, I'd already put my foot in it by using a certain word twice earlier.
Yes. And
now I'm singing. Although it is double entendre, and of course that is the
yes.
That's the way that you stay safe.
I couldn't agree. Thank you. Know, hello British humour for the last 60 years.
You allude to it. You know,
of course you go.
It's there. We both know what we're talking about.
We know what we're talking about. We're
but I'm just gonna, yeah,
just gonna keep it clean. That's good.
Sugar cookies.
Thank you. Now, what is? Are you in any way, shape, or form in a sort of blues bubble world thing? Do you do a kind of collective, you know, hunt out other blues players, or is it, you know, how healthy is the sort of fresh blues British scene?
I think there's. I mean, there's certainly a lot of good folk players around, and I mean a lot of people are doing quite a few things these days. I mean I think people want to, or the consensus was generally that you needed to be like under a certain genre to start with. I mean there's certainly a lot of good singer-songwriters out there that are, you know, just going around with their guitar, and I've heard, you know, a lot of good people play some blues like that. I mean I've got a couple of friends that they're in a group called I think it's called Take Manhattan, and they are David Holdstock and Andy Moore. And from Crawley and Hawley, respectively, or the
Crawley
other way around.
Crawley and Hawley. That should be the name of the band, Crawley and
Hawley. Crawley and Hawley. It's a bit like Marley and Marley, isn't it? But, you know, they play some great blues. And, I mean, we met, actually, at an event that Mr. Richard Ward was coordinating back in...
Dickie Ward. Hashtag Dickie.
Hashtag Dickie Ward. Yeah, if you fancy using that.
Come
on,
let's...
We've got to start it. We've got to start it.
I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do it now while we're speaking.
Hashtag
Dickie Ward. Sorry.
Yes, we met there. And I mean, we were, I think, the only two people on the bill playing blues.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say it's like, you know, I don't think it's mainstream.
Yeah.
But no, there's some good people around. I mean, myself, I play a lot of jazz on the electric as well, but that's primarily, you know, I do session work to make sure that I can live indoors and eat each week.
So hang on, you're making money playing jazz though. That's like sort of almost like the hardest thing in the world, isn't it, to make money on?
Oof, I don't know. You know, it's. I mean, when I say making money from, it's not just from jazz. It's from like session work.
Yeah. Okay.
Basically, as a guitarist, just jazz is the genre that I play and enjoy playing.
Fantastic. That's great.
So yeah, it's just another kind of facet of.
You're a talented bunny, you know.
I didn't want to say that.
I like sitting opposite talent because, you know, it just shines and it's good. And you are a very shiny.
The only reason why
shiny quality guy.
Well, I think that's probably because I am sweating from the fast walk. Here.
Didn't want to mention that. And the rain and the fact that we've shut the doors now.
We're
locked in, and with a view of those four guys.
There's a Russian spy behind the glass.
Well, she is. Well, I say she. I don't think Russian. I think
we don't want to
say
that.
I think that's pushing. I think Ofcom, which is fair enough. That's as close as we can get to the old USSR. The guy, the tall guy, you can see, oblivious to any spy world. He only lives in a bubble of coffee. That guy.
Bubble of coffee.
Yeah, you know, he's that kind of guy. But he's great. I mean, I wouldn't.
He'd
knock
do
him.
Well in continental philosophy, then, wouldn't he?
He would do very well in continental philosophy. Yeah, you can see him with a little ballet,
a little espresso,
croissant on the West Bank. Do you think it would be on the West Bank?
Oof,
yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe.
Mm.
Who knows? Where did Simone Beauvoir and Jean Paul? Where do they hang out?
Oh, don't put me to shame. I don't know.
Well, good. Now listen, back to this planet.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
You mentioned you didn't come here primarily for the music. Were you aware of the music scene in Brighton? Was that one of the little boxes, tiny little bracket boxes that you ticked to go, I'll go to Sussex, there's a great music scene?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. I mean, I was looking at other universities as well, and I'm really pleased that I didn't get into the other universities that I applied to.
Which ones did you apply to?
I applied to, I believe, Exeter.
Yes.
I can't even remember where else
good.
I applied to.
That's a good sign. That's a good sign. Yeah. I, on the other hand, remember all the ones I applied to. None of them took me except the one I had to go to. So there you go.
But it's done you well. You're presenting a marvellous show.
Well, those two sentences don't go together, but yes, thank you, sir. We'll take that. Text in from Colin, who is living in Newbury. I said we talked about Newbury, didn't we, earlier?
Hello, Colin from Newbury.
He's loving it. He's saying, blues, bring it on. Thank you, Colin. Anyone else got four words they want to text us? That would be great.
But no four-letter words.
No four-letter words. No, not at all. So Brighton music scene, you know, how important, because you actually live in Lewes, of course.
I do.
You know, through the back door, let you in
the black heart of Sussex,
arr,
where everything goes absolutely mental one night of the year. Yes, no, it goes. Does. To be fair, it goes mental a lot of nights of the year. But yes, that's another conversation.
What a night that is!
November the 5th. For anyone that doesn't know, we burn lots of effigies and on fireworks night. And,
yes, you do. Was was Mr. Jeremy Hunt one of them this year?
No, but Mr. David Cameron in the, you know,
yeah, time-honored tradition.
I mean, we all know what came up about David Cameron this year. You know,
right.
Certain farmyard animals.
That's a three-letter word. You can say that one.
Oh, what, pig?
Yes.
So there was a delightful effigy of Cameron and his Cameron and Babe, I would say.
Cameron and Babe. Good. Moving on. she's making notes now. Can you see the Ofcom girl?
I'm going to get a bullet in my head at the end of this.
Text back from Colin now. He's saying, "How much should you pay him to be so nice to you?" Yeah, you know, he's on the same retainer that everyone else is on.
I'm on a gratuitous salary here.
It is gratuitous. Now, would you like to play another track for us, Sam? What have you got?
Sure. So this one is an arrangement of an old blues standard called Come Back Baby.
Come Back Baby. Yeah, Mr. Sam Jefferson playing beautifully and so, so excitingly on The Pete Jones Show.
Come back, babe, please do not go. How much I love you, you never know. Come back, babe, talk it over one more time. I love you, woman, you know that I do. Love you, babe, the way through. Come back, babe, talk it over one more time. I woke up this morning with you gone. Is there any crime with that dove? Come back, babe, talk it over one more time. Got to me, love you, babe. I set me free. Come back, baby, tie it over one more time. Come back, babe, please do not go. How much I love you, you never know. Come back, babe, tie it over one more time.
Wonderful, wonderful sound there of Mr. Sam Jefferson playing live for us right here, right now. Another text in. I should have read it first, of course, before. Oh, no, it's fine. That is very cool music. Love it. Not bad on the guitar either.
Thank you.
He can sing a bit too. Yes, he can. Yes, he can, my friends. That's Colin still listening in Newbury, still texting in. I reckon he's on a roll now. Well, we got him. We got Colin.
Are you hooked, Colin?
We hooked him. We hooked him in. Very, very grand little session coming here, Mr. Sam Jefferson. Now, none of us have forgotten the promise that he made at the beginning of the show, that he might play one of his new tracks. He hasn't forgotten either, by the sound of it, which is good. What's your plan in the next couple of years, Sam? Is there a plan?
Yeah, I am applying to study, to do a master's in music up at the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester.
Okay.
So I was there last month, actually, doing some interviews with people and getting a feel for the college. And I'm applicable for the program, so I'm going to apply. And that's a two-year course. I think that'd be really important because it not only teaches you how to just become a better musician. They produce a lot of quality session musicians. And really, that is where, I mean, if you want to, you know, make music a sustainable career, it has to be, I mean, this is just my opinion, so I know it's quite contested, but it has to be more than just like, you know, oh, I've got a gig at the weekends and here's my CD, which are awesome things to do. And obviously they are the most enjoyable bits because they're the creative bits. But there's lots of ways to make money in music. And I mean, that's the flip side of it. You know, when you say to people, I want to be a musician, it doesn't always have to be like, I want to be a pop star, which is, you know, you get misconstrued sometimes.
Yeah, and obviously the backbone of the industry are session musicians, let's face it. I would say 80% of people who work in the industry are guys we're never going to hear about.
Yeah, exactly.
Who are doing, you know, all the work.
Yeah, but they, I mean, you know, they get to earn a solid living and they, you know, they did it all playing music, which is awesome. And it's not easy work and it's, you know, it can be quite demanding, but I think it's a good place to shoot for. It's something that I'd like to expand on for sure.
What about your songs?
Yeah, the songwriting. I mean, I'll always do this and I'll always put out.
But what about putting those songs out to the industry? Have you tried and thought about that? Because I mean, you know, some of the greatest songwriters. I'm not talking about historically. Saying now, Beyonce, all these people. English girls are writing for them, like 16, 17, 18, 20-year-old girls are writing these phenomenal songs for, you know, sort of Taylor Swift and Beyonce and people like that. You go, are you kidding? Imagine just getting one of those. One Beyonce song.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I'm not sure I can write
that
a song.
That is money.
I'm not sure I can write a song that Beyonce would sing.
I don't want you to do that, but I'm just saying.
Maybe she'll sing the song about the cookies. I think we'd all enjoy that.
I would like that. Yeah, you could put it to the Cookie Monster. But there's enough big artists, or, you know, it doesn't even have to be big artists, that are looking for new material the whole time. And if you've got these great songs.
Yeah, I mean, there was always a part of me that used to, you know, think like, oh, a song is like, you know, my child or something.
Yes, everyone thinks that. You've got to let the thing go, haven't you?
Although, I guess there is, you know, an element to which you can write songs for a certain purpose. I mean, I certainly wouldn't sell songs that have got a real personal significance to me, or like any of these songs I'm writing at the moment, which have got you know, like family history and historic, because they're very particular. So I wouldn't put any of those up for auction, as it were.
Really?
No, I really wouldn't. And some of them, you know, even if, I mean, unless there was like, you know, a real particular kind of artist. I mean, there's a lot of folk singers that I think that would probably be more appropriate. But
I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, Springsteen, one of the biggest artists
of all time, of course,
first three big hits were not by him. You know, the Beatles did the same. I mean, the amount of people they were writing for in the early to mid 60s is ridiculous. And people like Neil Diamond, some of his biggest hits he didn't sing. The Bee Gees, some of their biggest hits they didn't sing. You know, it's not, but I know these are personal, these are babies, these are creations.
Yeah, I mean, there's, I think a lot of people are starting to really appreciate people writing their own songs more. I don't know, maybe there's just something that feels a little bit more authentic about it, because, you know, it's something that, it's an issue that's obviously meant so much to them that they felt like they needed to write something about it. And you can always tell in the delivery of it, you know, they're not going for, oh, if I hit this note like this and that. Obviously technical mastery is great, but I think, you know, if you're in a room listening to someone, you want to take the emotion every time. I mean, if someone's, you know, got a real, if they've got history with that song, you know, it means something to them.
Okay. Yeah. No, I all brilliant. All makes sense.
But there's, you know, I see both sides of it though, because obviously there's a living to be made.
Yes, I mean, I wasn't being flippant when I was saying, you know,
no, of course
money
not.
And whatever. But you know, I mean, I even think of Billy Bragg, who essentially, though, you think about Billy Bragg.
Yeah.
You know, he is a very serious, down to earth, folk political singer. His biggest hit wasn't, he didn't sing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Kirsty MacColl took it and made it her own.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, it's true to say, obviously, within the folk tradition, I mean, there's countless songs that are arranged and rearranged, but they are not, you know, they're in the tradition. They're not, it's not necessarily pinned to some one person. Although, of course, you know, an artist like Bob Dylan has now...
I was just about to mention him.
Yeah, his tracks, obviously, they're like in the canon, you know.
Yeah, but his first biggest hits weren't by him. The Byrds made him big.
Yeah, that's true.
Manfred Mann made him big. It's bonkers when you actually find out about all that, but it's like, oh my God. Now listen, we're running out of time. One more track.
What can I have got? A sip of your water, please?
Of course you can, my friend. the whiskey's gotten to the...
I'm dry.
He's I'm dry. Yeah, whatever. Mr. Sam Jeffson here, who we could talk to all night, quite frankly. He's very, very smart and entertaining kind of chap. But he's here to play, and that's what we want to hear. So we're going to dig one last track. We've run out of time, run over time slightly, but that's fine.
Oh, goodness.
It's fine. Look, read that sign again. What does it say?
It says, we say what we want.
Say what we want.
Play what we want.
We play what we want. We do what the heck fire we want. That's what it says. So what are you going to play for us, sir?
So I was going to play something else, but since I spoke about my great-granddad earlier, I want to play this song called Gore Behol, and a little bit of history. He was a coal miner in Barnsley in South Yorkshire, and he had to start down the mine at the age of 12 because they were really poor, so he had to start work then. When the First World War broke out, he enlisted right away, and he survived the whole war. I mean, he eventually became a professional musician, and that's what saved his life. He didn't have to go down the mine anymore. But yeah, this is a song about those early stages when he had to be a coal miner.
What was his name, sir?
It was James Marshall. They called him Jim for short, but yeah.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. I'm just going to make sure I'm absolutely in tune, because the last one I was slightly out, and it bugged me.
I could see there was an element of bug going on. Happy with that. So do go to our Facebook page. There's a shot of Sam there. The Pete Jones Show on Facebook. If it's your first time to the page, like us. You'll always get alerts to the show. You can message us there, of course, as well. Sam, I think it's tuned up. What are you going to play? What's it called again?
Gore Behol.
Gore Behol.
It was G-A-W-B-E-R. That is the colliery or the coal mine where he was at. Gore Colliery.
Got it. Take it away.
I send you down that garber hole that they dug so long ago, where the coal does shine like precious gold, the mining life for you, you're told. Blackened face, you drag on home the music for your cinder bones. You try to rest your wounds for just one day, but you can't move your arms any other way. Where the night never ends, and you lose some of your friends, and you breathe only dirt, but it's in your blood, so you keep on drilling down. Heard that on the surface ground, the youthful feet for war were bound. So you climbed up out of Garber Mine and sunk into the trench front line. Corrupted lungs, a bleeding wall, but you breathed blackened air before. Shattered flesh and sunken souls, you'd seen these things in Garber Behol, where there's only one sound as your trail breaks black ground, and a cross smears your face, but your history tells you you found your place.
Jim Marsh, we salute you. That is Gorbert Hall. Sam, thank you so very, very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure, seriously. And any more gigs coming up or any CDs that you might want to drop off, do, and keep us posted of everything that is Sam Jefferson. Thank you so much.
This is Patrick Naylor. You are listening to The Pete Jones Show on Brighton's Radio Reverb.